Hello, everyone. I'm Colin Detmar of Scanline Media.
And I'm Jennifer Unkle of Scanline Media.
And we're here to talk about Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon, the newest generation of Pokemon main series games on the Nintendo 3DS. I have Pokemon Moon. Which one did you get, Jen?
I got Pokemon Moon as well.
Okay, great. We have a good diverse representation here. It's, you know, it's a Pokemon generation. They're not that different. We can still talk about it.
Yeah.
Neither of us have beaten the game, but we're both, you know, they're long games, and there's been a lot to play recently, and we're both happily chipping away at it, and we thought we'd just sort of convene and midway through the game talk about our thoughts. So where specifically are you in terms of game progress, Jen?
So I just landed on the second island. I got to the second island, went, oh wait, I want to catch a Rockruff, so I took the ferry to the first island, went to that secret area, and caught a Rockruff.
Excellent. I have just finished the second island, and they're like, great, you can go to the third one, and I'm like, I want to catch more stuff. So I haven't done that yet. I've been tooling around on the second island some more. But, I don't know, I have played every generation of Pokemon. I have played almost every, middle generation, every remake. The only remake generation I haven't played is I didn't play Fire Red Leaf Green. But, I've played everything else. And your history is a little less thorough, is my understanding?
Yeah, I got the... I went through the Red, Blue, the gold one, whichever that one was, gold and silver. I think that was the second one. But
yes.
Then I got to Ruby and Sapphire, and at some point I just kind of lost track because they all felt like pretty much the same game to me. And I was like, okay, I've played a bunch of these. Let me go find something else to play.
And when did you end up coming back?
Well, I started taking another look around X or Y when X and Y, when they did that whole transition to 3D and went into Poke France, and just that whole sea change of, hey, here's this really new art style we have going on instead of the same sort of towns over and over again. And that really interested me, so I got it, and it was awesome to finally have a game like that. Just the same thing that my head always did when I was fighting Pokemon as a kid, but real now, basically.
And as such, how are you finding Sun and Moon? Because obviously, going from Ruby Sapphire to X and Y would have been a pretty big jump in series terms. And from X and Y to Sun and Moon is probably less of one, right?
Yeah, it's one of those situations where I'm definitely impressed by the things that they've gone through, at least... It seems like they have a lot more ideas of where to take it more than any sort of giant technological leap. It's kind of crazy to have a Pokemon game with a whole cutscene going on at the beginning where things are actually happening like they would in a typical fully 3D game. And it's one of those things where I am kind of starting to feel like even if I got a new 3DS to kind of... push away some of the worst performance hitches that have been happening, it kind of feels like the engine or the console itself isn't really keeping up with what they want to do right now. So
I don't know if I'd blame the console. I love the Pokemon series. I have a lot of complicated feelings about the Pokemon series, as evidenced by my multiple articles that I've written for the site about them. But one thing I will say for certain is that Game Freak has never been a technical powerhouse. Their games have always been kind of inefficiently programmed, I guess is what I'm going to say. I'm not a programmer, but they have trouble executing on things that other people seem to find really easy.
Is that how Missing No came about and all that?
That one... I don't know if I'll blame them for that. You've got to understand that back then what they were doing was unprecedented. Having a game on the original Game Boy that had, essentially it was an RPG with 151 playable characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was insane. And in order to do it, they had to do some stuff with the code, and there were some rough edges, and you were able to make that game glitch. You can make a lot of old games glitch. I'm not going to hold that against them. But I don't know, maybe you're right. Maybe that's sort of like the seed that grew into the later troubles that the games have had.
Yeah. I won't say that the other games didn't have any performance problems or anything like that, but in this specific one, just going into the photo mode, which is something that they have available, just brings it down to like 5 frames a second, just crawling along trying to get that perfect Pikachu picture. And
that might be your 3DS specifically. I have a launch 3DS, and I don't have that problem in photo mode.
Hmm.
I would say it's maybe running at 25 or something in photo mode. Like, you can tell that there are some rough edges, but it's okay. What gets it for me is when you get, like, when you get a double battle with trainers,
have
4 Pokemon out and also 2 or 3 trainers on the field, that looks bad. The frame rate has some trouble.
Yeah, it's... The things that they try to do with it, whatever they're doing, it can't keep up.
And, like, I don't know, I've never been a graphics, like, I don't want to use negative terminology, right? But I've never been a stickler for graphical power and graphical quality, right? And so, like, the frame issues when that stuff happens doesn't ruin things for me. But it's kind of frustrating, especially combined with the fact that, like, in those situations, like, it also delays the combat. Like, when you're in those double Pokemon battles and you choose an attack, there's a good 2 or 3 seconds where it just continues, like, cycling camera shots of the Pokemon before the move actually happens, because the game is just chugging.
Yeah, it's...
And it's a little frustrating.
Yeah.
I do wonder if the new 3DS and new 3DS XL have these issues. I'm not really sure.
I heard from one other person that it seemed to have its own performance problems, but I'm not sure exactly whether it was the same. Maybe if they had taken out all of those unused assets that they had kept on there, it would have been a bit better, but who knows?
Yeah, that's... I mean, again, my knowledge of code is pretty slim, but, like, having assets on a disk that aren't being used shouldn't mess with your memory or your CPU.
Yeah. I'm just kind of surprised by the sheer amount of the specific assets that weren't used. Like, it came out that they had created models for every single Pokemon to be used only for walking around right next to you in person. Like, that was something they had.
I think that's just animations. Not like, the models already exist. I think it's just animations for them walking with you.
I hear it described as a separate low-poly model, but I could be wrong.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. But, like, that's... You don't have to create, like... I shouldn't talk more. I don't know what I'm talking about. This is out of my depth. I think maybe that isn't super hard for them, I guess. But okay. I'm not sure. But also, maybe that stuff that they intend, like, maybe this will be the first Pokemon game to have major content addition and patches, and they have some of that stuff in there already. Or maybe that's for cross-compatibility with the heavily rumored Pokemon that they're going to release on the Switch, which most people are calling Pokemon Stars, and I don't know if that's, like, the rumored name or if that's just the name that everyone has decided makes sense. But, you know, the sort of the yellow to this generation's red and blue.
Yeah.
I don't know. That it was surprising. Like, when I saw that walking animation stuff, I was like, oh, like, so they got, like, 40 or 50 of these done, and then they said, like, wait, never mind. It's like, oh, no, they literally have every Pokemon, and they're all done. It's like, that's really weird, actually.
Yeah. And if they were saving it for Stars, you'd think that they wouldn't put it on the card at all, but...
Well, maybe it's a compatibility thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there'll be some Yeah, I really... we really just don't know enough. But it is weird. I don't know. I guess... Let's talk about what our teams are right now, what Pokemon we've encountered that we have particularly enjoyed so far. Do you have any standouts?
Well, of course, I'm way into Popplio, who at this point is evolved into Breon, named her Nat. Anyway, she just is this really, really adorable sort of sea lion sort of character. And, I wouldn't say that she's super useful in combat, other than the fact that she's the highest level, so if I need to wipe anything out, I can just bring her out. But, I suppose having some sort of water attack is always helpful. The one that I actually have been using a lot, that has been a nice sort of balance, actually, is, it's a Trumbeak, which is a evolution from a Pikipek. I don't know if it's a new Pokemon, per se.
Yeah, it is. It's this generation's Pidgey, basically. This is the second... Yeah, as Jen says, it's the second stage evolution, the Trumbeak, and there is one beyond this one. So it's basically the Pidgeotto of Sun and Moon.
Yeah, and it's a really good... At this point, anyway, it's a really good sort of Pokemon to bring out when I need a bit of flying and fighting attacks at once. Like, that's a really nice combo that can cut through a pretty huge swath of Pokemon in the current area I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been a pretty big fan of Trumbeak as well. It feels like it's going to be one of those Pokemon that I'm going to have to get rid of eventually, just because I feel like normal type Pokemon just don't cut it later in the game. But because it's normal flying. It learns some fighting moves, which is one of the things I like in this generation, is that everyone seems to learn a pretty decent variety of moves, no matter their type. I also got Popplio, which evolved into a Breon, and I really like I don't like Breon that much. I don't like Breon style. I like Popplio, and I like the third stage evolution, Primarina.
Mm-hmm.
But this might actually be the first generation where I end up ditching my starter for my later game team, just because, like, there are so many Pokemon that I haven't even gotten to yet, a lot of them, that I just really want on my team. I really want a Mimikyu.
Yeah.
I have an Alolan Raichu, which...
Oh, lucky.
I don't know if you've seen those. Yeah, so for listeners, if you're not a familiar, I mean, obviously, Raichu is the evolution of Pikachu. And in Red and Blue, it's just like a bigger, slightly different colored Pikachu, right? But in the Alolan version, it's electric psychic instead of just electric. And its ears are different. It's got some slightly different coloration. And it's floating and levitating on its tail like a levitating surfboard. It's dope.
Yeah.
Its animations are all so good.
And even though it's some sort of silly PR that they threw out, I like the whole story of it became that way because it just ate a lot of fluffy pancakes.
It's all, yeah, like, there's some good stuff in this game. I'm looking at other Pokemon on my team, and, like, I don't think I'm going to keep most of them, honestly. I'm going to definitely keep that a Raichu. I feel like a lot of the Pokemon I want are going to be later on. I will probably end up keeping my Rockruff, knowing what Rockruff evolves into in Moon, which is like basically a humanoid werewolf thing, which looks pretty cool. But yeah, I don't know. Like it's often the problem, not the problem. It is often the case in Pokemon that early on, for certain types, you don't have a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've got a Growlithe in my team right now, and I like Growlithe a lot, and I like Arcanine a lot, but that's a Red and Blue Pokemon. I've had a lot of Growliths in my day. I want someone new. But right now, if I want fire, I just don't have a lot of options, so...
Yeah, and there's also certain Pokemon that you kind of just have to keep in your team for a bit until they become useful. Like, I ended up catching that Abra that gave me so much trouble, and its only move for right now is just Teleport, so... If I want to get it buffed up to something that can actually fight at all, I will need to keep it in my party until it learns something else.
Well, and like also, I don't know if this was the case in X and Y. I don't think I raised an Abra in X and Y, but at least in some previous generations, When at level 16, Abra evolves into Kadabra, it immediately learns Confusion, which is a pretty decent psychic attack.
Mm-hmm.
In Sun and Moon, it doesn't. It doesn't learn an attack when it turns into Kadabra. You have to keep leveling it after it's a Kadabra before it finally learns an attack.
Jeez.
And that was the point where I just lost my patience, was like, okay, you're off the team, you are dead weight.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, it's just one of those situations where... Back, what you were saying about constantly switching out your team. This is the first generation that I've played where I'm really liking a lot of the Pokemon I'm catching. So I'm kind of already trying to think of the best way to sort of come back for some of them after I've evolved some of the others. Kind of cycle them in and out and somehow create a good team out of just constantly switching in and out Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, like, another way to look at it, like, there's, like, what I'm saying right now is that I'm kind of frustrated I don't have options that I really like early on.
Mm-hmm.
But another way to look at it is that in most of these games, I find Pokemon that I like pretty early on, and my team gets pretty well locked within the first 3 hours of the game, and is that for the rest of the game. And it's good that they're forcing me to rotate in and out and change up my team. In Black and White, pretty early on, if you pre-ordered the game, you got access to Victini, which is maybe not my favorite, but certainly one of my top five favorite legendary Pokemon. So I got a Victini, a fire psychic, in my group, and that Victini never left. It's just like, once it got in, it's like, okay, you are permanently here because you are the greatest. And it's good that I don't feel as married. Now that I have this Alolan Raichu, I don't think that Alolan Raichu is probably going to leave, but it took me quite a while to get that Alolan Raichu. I had to do some work. And it's nice that they're forcing me to change up my roster a little more.
Mm-hmm.
So I realize this won't be as much for you because you haven't slogged through every single generation of Pokemon, but this is the first one where we're not dealing with gyms. How does the whole change to, like, Pokemon trials and stuff, how does that feel to you?
It doesn't feel all that different, really. At least, I haven't completed a ton of the trials yet because it was, I'm just landed on the second island, but in cases like the whole schoolyard fight to kind of just go up to random people and figure out whether they're actually trainers or not, or that whole cave excursion where you're looking for specific Pokemon, it still feels a whole lot like gyms to me. Like, what you're doing is essentially the same thing as it was every other time you go through several battles in a specific area until you get to the boss. And, yeah, it's one of those situations where I kind of like the different aesthetics to it. Like, the whole world is a lot... I think it's even better than the whole Poke France. It just pops with all this friendliness, and I feel like not having a gym kind of matches with that. Just having this, oh yeah, you're just going on a fun trial, a coming of age sort of trial. But yeah. When all is said and done, it pretty much mechanically serves the exact same purpose as a gym.
So, I don't totally disagree with you. I think I think I'm sort of in the middle. Certainly in that first trial, I don't think you really see the hand that they're going to deal you. Later trials, maybe you see it a little bit more, like the fire trial, which you don't walk around in the fire trial. You talk to a guy, and he shows you a bunch of Alolan Marowaks dancing. And it's like spot the difference, like, because you see two dances and you're like, what was different? And it's kind of funny because you're like, okay, I gotta really pay, like, intensely close attention, right, to see what the difference is in these dances. And it's like super, like, intentionally comically obvious. Like, it's like, what was different? Well, the second time a guy came out of nowhere and just jumped in the middle of the frame, and he was like, how did you know? It's pretty funny. And, like, you don't fight any other trainers, you sort of spot the difference in the dance three times, and that triggers three very easy battles, and then you fight the totem Pokemon. So I think you're probably right that in as far as like the actual mechanics of what you're doing, it's not that different from a gym. But there are two things that I like. One is that, as you said, it's more in line with sort of the friendliness and cohesion of the world. Time will tell if I like this better than Poke France, but the one thing I will say is it's a lot more cohesive than Poke France. All the Pokemon games, like moving from town to town, like it doesn't actually feel like moving from town to town, right? It feels like moving from state to state or even country to country. It's really dramatic how different things get.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that feeling in this, that like these all feel like part of the same place. They're different, but they're all like, it's like, oh yeah, no, totally. This is a natural progression. And then the other thing is just like, this is the dumbest stick to have up my butt. But the way in which gyms were presented in those previous games got more and more ludicrous as time went on, until you're like, oh, this gym, like, is made out of, like, this, you know, a bunch of, like, interlocking rectangle frames that control the shape of the entire room and they rotate. Or this one, the entire gym is arranged on spider webs and you get trapped in cocoons and sucked around along threads. It's like, what are you doing? Like, did this cost you, like, fucking $85 million to build this stupid building? What are you doing?
It's the Pokemon equivalent of a football stadium.
It's the Pokemon equivalent of, like, fucking the final, like, the boss's base in, like, a Gundam anime. Like, season 2, final boss. Like, here's his gigantic throne room that, like, automatically produces Gundams every 5 seconds. And you're like, how does this exist? This makes no sense. Also, it's gold, because Gundam final bosses always have to be gold. Am I just bitching about Gundam now? I probably am just bitching about Gundam now. But, listen, I feel like pretty much all of the changes I've named in my two different articles about what Pokemon is screwing up, like the changes I've said they need to make, they did not make. But I still like this a lot, and I'm trying to figure out if that makes me a hypocrite. I don't know, like,
I think you could still dislike parts of something and while still enjoying the whole.
Like, oh, sure, absolutely. But, like, I don't know. Like, I still think they need to change IVs and EVs. I still think that system is really, like, obtuse and frustrating and not fun. But, like, I can't even tell it's there. Like, if our friend Lee hadn't mentioned, like, oh, look, there's this way to check your IVs, I wouldn't have known it was still there. And is that a good thing because it's not bothering me, or is that a bad thing because they're hiding game systems from me?
Yeah, it definitely feels like they've kind of put certain elements in the background just to decrease our stress, more or less. So it's like, oh yeah, don't worry about it. You're going to get good Pokemon, and you can just figure out which ones work over time.
So speaking of stress, let's talk about the calling for help mechanic, the SOS mechanic.
Okay.
I haven't had the nightmarish experience with it that some people have had, but I really don't understand why there isn't, like, unless you do something special, why there isn't an upper limit on the number of times that a Pokemon can call for backup. Why are you making me fight endlessly spawning Pokemon?
You gotta get that grind on.
I don't, though. That's the thing. I really, like, especially if they're weak enough to be doing SOS stuff, they're barely worth any XP anyway. Like, I think, like, I understand why they did it for, I guess, a couple of reasons. One, they didn't want encounters with lesser Pokemon to feel like a complete, like, non-challenge waste of your time, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then also they kind of wanted to emphasize the fact that Pokemon are more active players in this version of Pokemon, right? Like, every Pokemon game starts with you picking your starter. And Sun and Moon is the first one that says, okay, you picked your starter. Now we're going to see if they pick you. And obviously that's just a narrative thing. The starter is going to pick you. But it's this moment of like, hey, like, you know how those there are all those like Twitter tweets and Reddit posts about how isn't Pokemon actually about slavery? We read those and we're like, we don't agree with you, but you have some points. Let's make this better. Let's emphasize the fact that this is a partnership.
Yeah, and it feels like the power of Pokemon is more respected in this one. Like, you end up within the first 20 to 30 minutes getting helped by a god and a little literal Pokemon god, and it's like, oh yeah, he's kind of watching over you, and he digs how well you're fighting and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like they do a lot more to give the Pokemon agency, which is a weird thing to say, but it's totally the case.
It really helps that they have gone out of their way to flesh the whole Pokemon and me feature into this thing that is constantly, whenever you're in a battle, you can, well, after a battle, you can use a little moment of just tapping your Pokemon to remove any status effects. And it's also just a sort of thing of, oh yeah, you did a great job, we're gonna pet you a bit, and watches this Pokemon get super happy and feed it a few beans. And that's a really cute feature.
And it's an evolution of what was in X and Y, but it's pretty close to the same. Like, they added some new stuff, but it's not that different. It's just that they're surfacing it so much better. Like, X and Y, I basically never used it, because it's just hidden away in a menu, and the game never really says, like, hey, you should really use this. But in, like, Sun and Moon, sometimes you'll finish fights, and there'll just be a little prompt on the bottom screen, like, hey, hit Y if you want to, you know, like, brush your Pokemon's coat and give them a high five. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I do.
Yeah, and they get so psyched about it, too. If it ends up going to the same one that you were fighting with, it kind of just does a little spin around and a little heart emoticon, then you go into the petting.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And, like, they've also, which, again, this is another thing that I found out through talking to others that was in X and Y, and because I never used Pokemon Ami because it was so hidden in the menus, I didn't know about. But they do the thing where, like, if you get a Pokemon to high affection levels, in combat you see differences. Like, you will get extra crits because it'll be like, hey, you were really in sync with your Pokemon and they did a crit. Or, like, your Pokemon, like, felt the urgency and they dodged an attack that they wouldn't have otherwise. Or there's just little flavor things, right? Like, I go into battle with my Trumbeak, which I've named Henrietta. And, like, as the battle starts, I deploy Henrietta, and then she sort of glances over her shoulder at me and then back at the enemy, and the message pops up and says, Henrietta is counting on you to have a great strategy. I'm like, hey, that's nice.
Yeah. I've seen a few that are like, Nat could really go for some beans right now or something like that.
Yeah. Or you get one of your high affection Pokemon really low health, and it's like, you know, like, you know, I don't know, what's Verona is my Raichu. It's Verona looks like they might cry. It's like, aww. It's all really sweet. I don't know. It feels like there's a lot more life to this game, which is obviously, like, it's in totally not Hawaii. So, like, surprise, surprise, they're going for a theme of life and vibrance, but it really works.
Yeah, it's a whole lot more enjoyable just in the moment-to-moment sort of stuff. Like, at some point, I kind of got tired of the Pokemon aesthetic, sort of circling back around to that, but just coming across all these really awesomely dressed people and just the great music that plays, this a lot of ukulele going on, and it's just kind of a relaxing thing to play, which is pretty significant to say for something that's about 99% of the time throwing two monsters at each other until one of them faints.
So you have actually prompted me something I would have forgotten about otherwise. Thank you. The fashion in this game is inferior. The NPCs have good fashion. You don't get the option to have good fashion. Like, right now, I'm wearing, like a tank top with, like, you know, a fish and some water on it and a pair of, like, white shorts. And it looks fine. It's not bad. And I have looked at YouTube videos of the fashion available in Sun and Moon because I'm a crazy person, and this is the best it's going to get.
Yeah.
In X and Y, I got, like, pleated skirts with, like, blazers and a fedora, and I looked like a fucking boss.
Yeah.
And I just... Yeah. Like, look at Lily's dress. That's a good dress. I want that dress.
Yeah, rocking the sundress.
Right? Like, I am frustrated at the options that are available on Sun and Moon, because they're all fine, but, it, like, all of them look like you're one of those people who goes to the beach and then doesn't swim. Every single outfit is that, and I'm not happy with that.
Yeah, it's basically like you actually went out your way to move here, yet you can only dress like a tourist.
Man, imagine if, like, no matter what you did, there was always a camera around your neck.
Well, there kind of is with Pokedex.
Oh, God, you're right. God damn it. I have high hopes for DLC for this game so that I can wear cool clothes. Game Freak, I will give you money. Let me wear cool clothes. Give me horse armor. In this metaphor, I, literal me, am the horse. Give me horse armor.
Yeah, I think it also says something that we both gravitated toward the same outfits. Like, we have different pants, but other than that... Well, we have different colored pants. We have the same exact pants and the same shirt.
We have the same exact pants and the same shirt, and you have a slightly different shade of the pants. And it's like, that says something about your options, because, like, in X and Y, I recall us having very different styles.
Yeah, we were pretty different.
You didn't go for, like, the vest and tie look with, the like, the wine red shirt, as I recall.
Nope.
Whereas I was like, man, I look like I'm ready to fucking, like, hit up a Michael Jackson music video. I look fucking dope. I did. I looked really dope.
Yeah. One thing that they have kind of submerged in a way that was kind of surprising is I haven't seen any prompts yet to do trainer videos, even though that's kind of sitting as an option right under the weird multiplayer mode, which also... doesn't make any sense to me. Like,
no, all that stuff. I don't. I saw a thing, like an announcement that was like, "Hey, everybody can participate in this festival mission, like everyone in the world, and if you, if you help catch, like as a whole community, I think it was like 3 million Pokemon by the end of the year or something." Then everybody gets, you know, 1,000 festival points. And I'm like, great. What do I do with those? I have, like, 300. I don't know that I can spend them to buy buildings that don't do anything. I don't understand any of this.
Yeah, the only thing I kind of... They're like mini-games, but mini-games you don't play. Like, you get your Pokemon to play them, and then...
Wow.
Yeah. It's...
I don't understand why they did that.
I think you get some sort of small stat boost for your Pokemon, but it's just this weird thing of, oh, we put all this effort into making these crazy buildings which supposedly have these interesting things within them. Like, I have a haunted house somewhere, but all it is just pushing my Breon into there and going, okay, go have fun in the haunted house, and then they come out.
So is it just super training from X and Y?
It's hard to tell whether it's that significant or not. It's so unclear about what it even does, other than being... The one thing that does make sense about it is it being the new way to play online with people. Like, it's the place you go to trade Pokemon or battle. But even that is not really presented in a coherent way. Like,
no.
I was told to... that I had to go into a specific menu to find someone, but instead all I had to do was walk into the festival plaza, and then that person invited me without me actually going into the place they told me to.
Well, that's because they wouldn't, you know, it's like any other multiplayer game. This is the way you would invite someone, but they invited you first. Because the same thing happened to me, is our friend Lee was like, hey, I'll trade you this egg that has an Alolan Vulpix in it. You just have to, you know, go through these menus, and then Lee did it before I did, because I was looking at these menus and just sort of quietly muttering under my breath, how in the fuck? Like, I hit trade, and then there's a global trade, but that, nope, that's just searching. I can't choose a person. Okay, and I don't want Wonder Trade. I go to this other trade, and I have a friends list there, and the friends list is empty, and, oh, there's the invite from Lee.
Yeah, we mentioned before this game came out in a conversation that the change really isn't that big of one from the X and Y version, but I vastly prefer X and Y's simple, okay, hit this button to go online, your friend is in this friends list near the bottom of the screen, tap them, go.
Yeah, that whole system was far, far, far superior. Have you done any Wonder trading?
No, the only sort of the only trade I did was to get the Alolan Vulpix from Lee, like you mentioned, and also I went online to get my free gift of the whatever the earlier Snorlax evolution is. The Munchlax.
Yeah.
And his he's really convenient to have in the early game, because you can get him before you have another you have a TM that lets you bring someone down to one health without fainting them. And other than that, I've kind of been doing some of the weird stuff, like I've scanned a few QR codes, and because apparently just any QR code in the world works for it, but you only have a certain amount you can do every day. But
I haven't done any of that.
But yeah, doing Wonder Trades in the past kind of turned me off from doing any of it this time, because I know I'm just going to get a Pidgey. That always happens. I'll just get a Pidgey.
Well, I actually got some, like, I'm not going to say I've got some amazing Pokemon, but I kept at it long enough that I got an Abra, and I got a, I forget, I got some other, like, slight, like, not, like, rare, but, like, mildly uncommon Pokemon. I was like, okay, this can work. Yeah, I don't know, I heard great stories from people being like, I got a Popplio, this is crazy, and it's like, okay, that's the exception, certainly not the rule.
Yeah, I just don't trust other people enough to just go, okay, I worked really hard to catch this Pokemon, let me just put it in a blind box and see what I get back. Oh, a Pidgey. Have fun.
I caught a Smeargle. That's a Pokemon that paints with its tail and has, like, a real dopey look on its face and looks like an idiot, right?
Yeah.
And I named it Banksy because I'm hilarious. And I wonder traded it, and I got it Pick-a-Peck. And I was like, well, fuck this.
Yeah. It's, if there was some sort of way of being like, okay, here's the most common ones that are typically wonder traded, let's remove the possibility of getting them at all, I'd be down with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Or I don't know, like, I feel like part of the magic is that you can just throw garbage into the ether and get wonder back. Like, it's fine if wonder trade isn't for me. There's a part of me that wants to say, like, let's have there be tiers of the game being like, oh, this is clearly a tier garbage Pokemon. You will get a tier garbage Pokemon in return. Or, like, oh, you are clearly submitting a, like, an alright Pokemon, so you'll get an alright Pokemon back. But it's the wonder trade. Sometimes wondrous things are supposed to happen, and I think putting too many rules on it might ruin that. I don't know.
Yeah. That makes sense. Make it a total luck of the draw.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe the Wonder Trade is fine and it's just not for us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I definitely think, well, in fact, I'm pretty damn sure I'll finish this game. I think I've finished every single Pokemon. At least one game of every generation. I don't tend to finish two, but I tend to finish these games, so I'm sure I'll finish this one. But some generations, it's taken me a while to finish them because I just wasn't having a great time, and that's not the case this time. It's just that there's so much else going on. I'm having a lot of fun. This is probably going to end up being my second favorite generation of Pokemon. I really love Gold and Silver, but But this is really, really enjoyable, and I'm looking forward to playing more. Maybe we'll touch base again once we've both beaten it.
Yeah, I'd be cool with that. I guess the way that it feels to me in comparison to all the others is, like you, I don't feel entirely comfortable just saying it's my absolute favorite due partially to nostalgia that occasionally grips you, but it's one of those things where I feel like I'll come back to it more than I have any of the other Pokemon games. Like, there seems to be the sense of... It has a bunch of post-game stuff, too. Like, a friend of... I haven't paid too much attention to it because spoilers, but there is a bunch of stuff that happens once you've finished the game, like all the other modern Nintendo titles, which is a really neat thing. And, yeah, I'm just kind of amazed by the care and craft that went into this one, and it's definitely one of those things where it's just fun to be there, and that's about one of the highest praises I can give for a game.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the post-game content, I don't know, I spent so much time with Gold and Silver that it spoiled me, and, like, certainly there's stuff to do in Pokemon post-game, and that's cool. Like, Gold and Silver, like, arguably beating the game was like was completing like 35% of the game. There was a literal whole new world post Elite Four in Gold and Silver, and none of the other Pokemon games have lived up to that since. And honestly, like, I talk about the DLC close, and I wasn't joking, that would be great. But the actual smart thing for them to do would be to do post-game DLC of, like, go visit these other regions from previous Pokemon games. That would be really cool.
I'd also imagine that would be super hard to fit onto a cartridge like this. Or
that's why it's DLC.
Yeah, well, SD card, download. I mean,
my SD card is, I don't know, huge? My SD card is huge. I don't know, I think it's 64 gigs?
I didn't know they supported ones that big.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest that they support. But, like, yeah, you can get some really big shit. I think the game itself is, like, 4 gigs. So, like, there's a lot of room there. And also, maybe you don't get to some of that stuff till Sun and Moon. I don't know. But I would really love an excuse to play more of this game post-finishing it. Because, I don't know, Sun and Moon, or Gold and Silver, had probably the best post-game support of any game I've ever played, and I would love them to go back to those heights.
It sounds basically like the whole Link to the Past reveal, where they are like, oh yeah, here's a whole mirror world. I think that's Link to the Past anyway. I'm not a Zelda person, so I could be getting
with the
game
Dark
on.
World and stuff? Yeah, that's... But the... Okay, I don't want to rant too much about it, but, like, the great thing was... Since it was the second generation, the second world was the world of Red and Blue. You went back to the world of Red and Blue, and time had passed, and everyone there was super strong, and it was really cool seeing all the old gym trainers being badasses, and it was great.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk more Pokemon another time. Thanks for joining me, Jen. This was fun.
Yeah. Glad to discuss this with people.
Yeah, totally. So for more game coverage, you can go to scanlandmedia.com, where we have articles, podcasts, some videos for you. And all of that is made possible by donations through Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/scanlandmedia. Any money that you give there will be used to help us buy new games and new equipment. It doesn't go into our pockets. And all our content on our website is free, regardless of whether you're a Patreon contributor or not. Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, have a great day.